Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
Going pretty fast. It's already Thursday here on Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack. With me is Dan the Man. If you'd like to call into the podcast, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Anything else you need, head on over to sportstimeradio.com. Now, you know, the new blogs go up on Wednesdays and Saturday mornings, so make sure you're over there to check that out. You can swing over there now and check out what went up yesterday morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. If you could like that while you're over there, well, I greatly appreciate that. So would Dan. There's also the Sports Time Radio Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, Dan and I are on Twitter as well. I am at Burke Time, and Dan the Man is at?
Dan the Man with three E's.
So, all right. Well, you know, Dan, the lineup I did on air yesterday didn't do bad. But it didn't do good. It just did kind of average. I ended up with 126.8 points. So it was just kind of a blah type of lineup. I was really disappointed in the fact that the Braves put up 14 runs and Matt Kemp only got me 3 points. I thought for sure when I saw them scoring that he was just going to have a huge night, and it just didn't work out that way. Sadly, I was not in the right league to money, so I did not get my money back. But I was telling Dan before we started, I did do an overnight league. I decided to work around Zach Greinke, and I was piecing it together, and obviously he was the highest-priced pitcher, so you've got to kind of nickel and dime your way through it. And I was checking late while all the games were getting ready to end, and I was just out of the money. And I realized that I hadn't been given my 7 points for my Greinke win, so I was going to get a bump up, and that would put me in the money as long as the Mariners came back to beat the Twins. Well, oddly enough, I had Mike Zunino as my catcher because he was one of the cheaper options. He happened to hit the game-winning home run for my Mariners last night. So not only did I get the Greinke win, I got the Zunino home run with the runs and the RBIs and all that stuff. I ended up jumping up not only into the money, but getting $2.50 out of it. So it went from a night where I didn't look like I was going to cash to a night I was pretty happy with. So we'll see. But here's what I got for you tonight, Dan. I scuffled with pitching again. So I turned to the good old oddshark.com, you know, Mr. Fantasy's favorite site. And they are projecting that the Boston Red Sox will score less than 2 runs tonight. So I went with their findings, and I'm taking Michael Pineda of the Yankees as my pitcher for 8,200. Now, you know, the site is hot and cold. Sometimes they're right on. Other times they're, it's one of those things, I guess, when they seem to be right, they're really right. And then, of course, when they're wrong, your pitcher gives up double-digit runs. So I'm hoping they're on tonight. Filling out the rest of my lineup for 2,800, I got Matt Wieters catching of the Nationals. He's hitting fifth in their lineup. First base, I'm going with Anthony Rizzo of the Cubs. He's hitting third. He's 4,100. Second base is Cesar Hernandez of the Phillies. He's leading off. I got him for 3,100. Third base, I'm going with Evan Longoria again. The value is just tough to pass up on Evan. He's hitting third in that lineup, and he's 3,400. Shortstop, I spent some money tonight. I'm going with Trey Turner of the Nationals for 4,200. He's leading off there. The Nationals are facing Alec Asher of the Orioles, and he's 0-2 with like an 8 ERA on the road, and the game's in Washington. So I'm hoping that continues. Then my outfield is Steven Souza Jr., Dan's guy of the Rays. He's leading off tonight. He's 3,500. Ben Gamel of the Mariners for 2,900. He's also leading off for them tonight. And then my outfield wraps up with Lorenzo Cain of the Royals for 2,800. He's hitting third for the Royals. I know it's a tough matchup for him tonight against Lance McCullers, but, you know, it's just one of those things. You're looking at Lorenzo Cain for 2,800 bucks. It's a great value. And you just know one of these days he's going to break out and have a great game, and I'm hoping tonight is it. So the quick recap, Michael Pineda's doing my pitching. Matt Wieters is catching. Anthony Rizzo at first. Cesar Hernandez at second. Evan Longoria at third. Trey Turner at short. And the outfield is Steven Souza Jr., Ben Gamel, and Lorenzo Cain. So there you go. We're working with that. Now Dan had a technology issue today, so he sent me his lineup. I just have to go get it because I can't see Dan's lineup on FanDuel. So let me pull up Dan's lineup and we will see what he went with. Oh, that's yesterday's lineup. Dan, where is today's lineup?
It's in there. One of those emails.
Yeah, I saw it because I got the old, you know, hey, check out my, you know, my FanDuel lineup and all that stuff.
Did you delete it?
Where did I? I delete everything. So that's, you know, that's nothing new. No, that's not it. Yeah, it's. I seem to, even going through my deleted emails, I only have your lineup from yesterday. That's odd. Oh, wait, no, duh, God, I'm stupid. It was at the top of the email. They came together, and it wasn't showing. So here you go. Dan has a very interesting lineup. I do very much like your outfield, though. He's saving money at pitcher tonight. He's going with Kyle Gibson of the Twins. He's only 5,800. JT Realmuto catching, he's $3,000. Mitch Moreland for 3,300. Going with Ian Happ at second base for 3,100. He also spent 3,100 at third base for Josh Harrison. Shortstop is Xander Bogaerts for 3,600. And then his outfield is Bryce Harper for 4,700. Charlie Blackmon for 4,500. And Marcell Ozuna for 3,700. So there you go. That's what Dan's working with tonight. Yeah.
You know, I figured with the way the Twins are going, it's a free lineup. What the hell, right?
Yeah, you know, I mean, the free ones, I love to kind of experiment with the free lineup, see what goes on. And, you know, as great as it would be to win one, it's more fun a little bit for me to try to, you know, try out new things. You know, that's where I'll do the stacking or, you know, try some of the other stuff that goes on with, you know, that they tell you, you know, this is how you build your fantasy team. But before I forget, of course, these are for the 6:05 main events on FanDuel tonight, which is about 26 minutes away for you to get your roster in. So good luck. Check the weather. I think, again, it's just Philly at Atlanta with a chance of rain. So check that out if you're going with that game. Make sure you're not going to get rained out. And, of course, make sure all your guys are starting, because if you went with Dallas Keuchel last night, he was a late scratch, and that would have obviously killed your team. So,
You know, that was one of the things that was – when I was looking this morning at the guys who won in the league that I was in, just the top five, because I just got tired of going through them, because they all seemed to do the same thing. And that last night was pretty much go with Greinke and about two or three other – Diamondbacks. I think the second baseman was that. Yeah, I don't know. It was Jake Lamb and a couple other guys. You know, like you said, it's just today, so I can't really pull it up. But I do. You know, for me, it never seems to work. I mean, I know fantasy is just basically throwing darts at a board. But is it just a feeling, or you know, using a website that you think, well, what the hell, Greinke's in, so I'll use him and three other guys.
Yeah, well, you know, a lot of these guys do it the way, you know, the way Mr. Fantasy does, where he has a website he likes, which I mention, you know, all the time now, that oddshark.com. You know, and then he also has some sabermetric stuff that he really got into when he was under quarantine for his illness. You know, he got into all that, and he went through a bunch of books, and he kind of built his own FanDuel sabermetric system that he had been using. You know, and obviously a lot of these guys do that kind of stuff, but, you know, unlike, you know, well, especially you, you know, they're not going to work 8 hours a day with basically, you know, an hour commute there and back. So they have time to, you know, sit in front of their computer and go, okay, well, you know, I can load this in, and how's this guy look against this guy? And, you know, like, they can probably give you every breakdown that there is. And, you know, like I said tonight, you know, the pitcher for the Orioles is Alec Asher. He's been terrible on the road, you know, this year for the Orioles. But the funny thing is, when he was with the Phillies before, he made one start in Washington, and he pitched like six or seven shutout innings. So you have to wonder which Alec Asher is going to show up. I kind of have a tendency to believe that it's going to be the one that's giving up about seven runs in his road starts or eight runs in his road starts, because Washington can really hit. But, yeah, you know, like, I just don't have the time to sit there and do all these breakdowns. And, you know, it's not my life, so I've got to kind of lean on what I know or who I know, or just, you know, sometimes I just look to see who's hot. And I try to figure out if he's at the start of his hot streak or the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, I've been, you know, there's no real rhyme or reason, but picking guys based on, you know, looking at their previous point totals. You know, if you've got a guy, you know, over the last, was it five games, I think they give you, who's hit nothing but 30, you've got you 20, 30 points a game for 5 days, I might not pick him, because, you know, that'll be the day where he doesn't get it. So I'm still trying to figure out a strategy.
Right. Yeah, well, you know, like, I did it on Sunday. You know, I had spent very much a lot of money, and I needed a cheap option in the outfield. Now, you know, Odubel Herrera has stunk pretty much all year. I have him in our fantasy league. But, you know, it was just one of those things where it looked like a good matchup for him. You knew sooner or later he was going to break out. He's not that bad of a player. And sure enough, Sunday was the start to his hot streak. So it worked out for me. I mean, he's been, I think I got him for $2,300 or $2,400, and his price tag has been going up on FanDuel ever since. So, you know, like a lot of things guys use, you know, and this is for the year. San Diego is the worst hitting team in baseball. They're hitting .221 on the season. So, you know, that's kind of something, you know, you could look at. You know, obviously Greinke was pitching against them last night. So it's a, you know, it's a decent option that he was going to shut them down. You know, obviously it was a lot of money as well. But then, you know, the other thing that scores points for you on FanDuel is when your pitchers get strikeouts. Well, the Rays lead baseball in strikeouts this year. You know, they're followed by Milwaukee, San Diego, Arizona, the Dodgers are the top five. So maybe you're looking for pitchers against those teams. You know, I mean, maybe Derek Holland's a good option tonight. He's pitching against the Rays. Now, Holland's not usually a strikeout pitcher, but, you know, I mean, if he goes out and gets six or seven, which is probably above normal for him, and he gets a win and a quality start, well, you know, you've just racked up, I think it's seven for a win, six for a quality start, and then say he gets seven strikeouts, I think that's 21 points. You know, you just put yourself up over, you know, 30 points with Derek Holland for whatever he cost. I think he was $7,500 or $6,500. That's not a bad deal. So, you know, it's just little things like that that you've got to be able to piece together and look at. And, you know, obviously these guys have a much more detailed breakdown of what they're looking for. I know Mr. Fantasy's big thing was BABIP this year, which is, you know, batting average on balls in play. He's been kind of banking on, and I don't know how it's been working out for him lately. He hasn't said much, but at the beginning of the year, he got off to a much better start than I did. It took me a while to get the hang and get the system. So,
well, and how does that stat help with fantasy?
You know, it's tough for me to answer because I'm not a stat guy like that. You know, I'm more of a natural stat, but it just kind of shows more or less when the guy's putting the ball in play, how much he's getting on base. Obviously, you score points in FanDuel by getting on base. So you're looking for those kind of guys. Now, he has other stuff he mixes in with them. I don't know what all the other stats they're using. I just know that's one of his big ones because he brings it up quite a bit on Sunday when we're trying to value players and, you know, check out how they're doing or where they're ranked, which is quite humorous because it can be a real tough call. And, you know, if you ever listen to the podcast on Sunday, we go over a ton of players. So it's quite interesting for us. But, yeah, you know, something we'll have to look into. So,
yeah, and you know, when everyone and you know, kind of stick with the fantasy and different stats, I know you're not a fan of the WAR, but does that even come into play with fantasy? I mean, does that even make a difference when you're
Here, but before we get to that, I can give you a better definition here. BABIP is it measures how many of a batter's balls in play go for hits, or how many balls in play against a pitcher go for hits, which could be good for, you know, matchups. This excludes home runs, so that's you know, that's something that might work out for you. So, you know, if you want to look at it, yeah, I don't, you know, obviously if you've ever listened to the podcast, you know, I hate WAR. It's a stupid stat. I don't use it at all. I'm assuming there's some people that do, you know, because if, you know, you've got a, say a Mike Trout, who's got this gigantic WAR, you would think when he's in the lineup, his team has the better chance to win. But if you look at their record, obviously that's unproven because they were 500 with him in the lineup, and yet he still had the biggest WAR in baseball, which makes absolutely no sense to me. I don't understand how you have the highest WAR and your team is 500. You know, I mean, maybe if it was a Bryce Harper or a Trey Turner or, you know, even an Anthony Rendon, who's been a monster at times this year, you know, or give me an Astro, you know, maybe it's Carlos Correa, you know, or George Springer, those kind of guys. I mean, those have been the two best teams in baseball. That I could buy a little bit, but, you know, how does a guy on a 500 team have the best WAR? So, you know, you load up with Angels because Mike Trout has the best WAR, and then they don't win. So,
well, because
you know,
like
I would guess
season,
that probably, yeah. Right. You know, yeah, I would guess that probably probably doesn't help, you know, help things out. You know, I wouldn't think it would. Maybe, you know, maybe there's somebody out there that's able to use it and, you know, quantify it a whole lot better than, you know, I can or I did. Obviously, that was, you know, terrible. So, you know, but here, kind of looking at it, I've got this. Zach Cozart right now of the Reds has the highest WAR, 3.34. They're playing right around 500 baseball as well. Actually, I think they're under 500 at the present time. Mike Trout is second at 3.39. They were a 500 team while he was healthy. You don't get to a winner till 3. Aaron Judge is 3.3. Dallas Keuchel is 3.21, even though he's on the DL now. And then Nolan Arenado is 3.11. So, like, the first two guys on their list are on losing teams. So I don't understand how they have the best WAR when their teams don't win.
I'll have to read that, the definition again. It's on Baseball Reference, but that doesn't make any sense.
And that was seasonal WAR. The best offensive WAR is Mike Trout at 3.53. They have a defensive WAR as well. That's Nolan Arenado at 1.68, but Addison Russell the second at 1.28. He's had a horrible year fielding the baseball. I don't know how his WAR is that good defensively. And then, of course, I mentioned Keuchel. He's the best pitcher at 3.21. But, see, pitchers, I believe it a little more because, like, Jason Vargas has had a really good year at 3.09. And then you got, like, Max Scherzer, Zach Greinke. There's Clayton Kershaw, Robbie Ray, Mike Leake. These guys have had real good years. For pitchers, it makes a little more sense because, like, these top seven guys are winning games. So, you know, I can buy it for a pitcher, but, you know, for a hitter, especially the first word in it is wins. Well, you're not winning anything. So, you know, so yeah, it's just one of those, one of those odd, odd sabermetric stats that you kind of get. And, you know, I don't think it would really help you because, again, you know, if you're betting on, Trout or Cozart or whatever, however it works out, that team's not winning any games. You know, maybe they'll put up some stats for you so you don't, I guess you don't load up against that, maybe you use them. But, like I said, for some, whatever reason, when I use Trout, he stinks. I'm just like a cursed flim. So... Oh, but all right, Dan, well, I guess we got to talk about it here. Obviously it's the biggest story in the Chicago area. It actually came out kind of strange because again, it's one of these situations where there've been no charges filed. But Addison Russell actually will not even be in Wrigley Field tonight because there was an Instagram post by one of his wife's friends that accused him of domestic violence. So, again, there's no charges filed. Nothing's been filed with the police. It's just that situation again where baseball has to be, judge, jury, and executioner, and they're going to have to look into this. Now, I believe it was an Instagram post. Again, it was by one of his wife's friends. Now, Russell's wife did come out and mention how he actually is an adulterer. He did cheat on her, and there's plenty of proof because he had a child with the woman he was having an affair with. He didn't deny it. But his wife never mentioned anything about any type of domestic violence. One of her friends posted it on their Instagram page, and then they quickly took it down. So I don't know how or what or where to go with it, but he won't be, he won't be in the ballpark tonight. The Cubs are going to play with 24 guys against the Rockies. And who knows? I mean, he's been having a terrible year. Do you think maybe this has weighed on him mentally?
It could be. Now, is him not being there just the Cubs giving him the night off to kind of get his mind together?
Yeah, I heard Jed Hoyer on the local station, good old WSCR. And the discussion kind of went where he decided that Russell had more important things than baseball to deal with right now, and they're believing it's it was best for him to stay home. You know, and obviously, you know, the ballpark will be a media frenzy because that's all they're going to want to talk about. You know, absolutely nothing else is gonna come up. So, you know, we'll have to kind of see where it goes or how it kind of works out. But I worry about this. I mean, obviously, it's a serious claim. But, you know, I want to see some more evidence here. You know, I didn't like the fact that it was a friend who put it up and then took it down right away. So I don't know if maybe she was just trying to get some attention to the story. You know, but at least, Dan, I will give Chicago Radio a little benefit of the doubt here. They didn't immediately convict him and try to run him out of town like they did with Patrick Kane, who turned out to be completely innocent of all his charges. So at least they learned a little bit from that. But yeah, it's a serious situation, but I know what I always look back on and kind of rely on with this is, domestic violence is actually a really wide net. I don't know if people understand this. Obviously, there's the physical side of it that we see and, you know, everybody really hates. But I actually had a friend. He was married multiple times. I guess he figured the more he did it, he could get it right. When he was married to his second wife, they argued quite a bit. And when they were first married, they were going to college. And they had, you know, some really good arguments. Now, you know, it never turned physical. It was just people yelling. Well, you know, it being a small college apartment, obviously the neighbors could hear it pretty clearly. They called the cops. The police showed up, and they explained to him that, you know, whatever it was, they needed to get over it because if they have to come back a second time, they have to arrest one of them. Well, the argument continued. The police came back. Well, one of them had to be arrested, so my friend, being a good husband, I guess, volunteered to take the arrest. They took him down. They charged him. You know, they let him out on his own recognizance, all that other stuff. Technically, he was charged with domestic violence for an argument with his wife. Now, I'm not saying this is the case with Addison Russell or anybody else who's charged with domestic violence, but that's how wide the net is. You know, it's not just a tight little ball where it's Ray Rice punching his, at the time, fiance in the elevator. You know, it's not that. You know, it's not always physical abuse. Mental abuse is a part of this as well. So, you know, but before you hang this guy, I think we need to make sure we get all the facts. And it's just, it's a slippery slope once we get going down it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I give a lot of credit to the Cubs for acknowledging that, you know, there's more to life than baseball. And, I mean, but let's be honest, at the same token, like you said, it's going to be a media frenzy. And we both know if Russell was there, he would just be bombarded with dumbass questions.
Yeah. So... yeah, you know, and that's, you know, that's going to be the biggest problem is, like, even when he comes back, if he comes back tomorrow or if it's next the next day or the next week or whatever they end up having to do with him, you know, it's just it is going to be one stupid media question after another stupid media question. And they're going to ask him the same thing phrased multiple different ways like they always do. So, obviously it's a bad situation. He, of course, has denied the allegations. I don't know anybody who's ever come out and admit they hit their wife. I think Ray Rice even denied punching his fiance until we saw the video. So, it's no real surprise there. I'm hoping he's innocent. I was more shocked that he basically has a Bartolo Colon, and he has a second family with a different woman that apparently his wife knew about and stayed with him. So, you know, is that the thing, Dan? You make millions, right? Is that the thing? You make millions of dollars and you go out and you get two families? Is that how it works?
Well, you know, sometimes temptation can be hard to say no to. And some of the others...
I can't afford one. Yep.
No. Well, you know, I mean, and that's not to say that his other baby mama is like this, but there are women who go out seeking to get that baby so that they don't ever have to work again.
Yeah, sadly, that is true. You know, it's part of life. You know, they will. You know, again, not all women are like that, but there are some. I believe the term is gold digger. Where's the Kanye West song when we need it, Dan? Oh, so.
Yeah.
but yeah, hopefully, you know, I hope he's innocent. I hope he gets cleared. And you know, obviously they have a lot of issues to deal with, even if there's no domestic violence involved in this relationship. So hopefully it gets cleared up. Cause yeah, it's just, either way it's ugly. So.
Yeah. Well, and I mean,
but, you know, I guess the question, you know, Dan, before you make your next point, how long do you think the Cubs can go with just 24 guys?
Well, I think they've exercised too many options, and they've brought up all their star prospects. So, but I see where you're going with that too, because Joe Madden likes to take his starting pitcher out in the fourth or fifth inning, depending on the day. So, but I hope there's a rain delay or rain out or two over the weekend.
Yeah, you know, and then to add to their dilemma, I don't know if you saw this or not, but Kyle Hendricks went on the disabled list today.
Well, I could bring up Dwayne Underwood.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know. I did not look to see what the corresponding move there was. Let me see if they did anything. I know they did mention that Mike Montgomery would go into the starting rotation. Yeah, that would be the move there, but they didn't say what else they would do. Oh, what the hell? This guy just came off the DL for me. Now he's back on? Jeez, Dan, I should have never traded for him. All right, let's see what we can find. I'm going to bing Kyle Hendricks here and see what comes up, see if we can find out what kind of move the Cubs make. Yes, he's on the 10-day deal with a hand injury. It doesn't. Oh yeah, they're saying right now is Mike Montgomery is taking the start. Do we have anybody? It doesn't look like they have anything listed in this article on who took his spot. The Mickey Mouse Network didn't update their transaction site yet, so it's not on there. Let me try good old. Let's go to the source, Dan. Let's give MLB a shot and see if the MLB.com website has it updated, and maybe we have something here. Hey, Edison Volquez is pitching tonight. Does he go back to back no hitters?
No, I was afraid of him.
How long do you think he goes tonight? You think he can go a couple innings without giving up a hit? Or does, like, the first guy go up there and just rip?
That's kind of what I was thinking, 5 innings, 3 to 6 runs, and, you know, 3 walks.
Yeah, they don't have anything listed on good old Kyle Hendricks, so we'll have to wait and see. Maybe tomorrow we'll find out who they brought up. So, you don't have Zach Greinke, do you, Dan? Because he's on the paternity list.
Well, good for him. He pitches a good win, and then takes us.
Yeah, he should come back just come back in time to make his next start. And I already mentioned you know Dallas Keuchel went on the DL. Well, actually, no, he was scratched last night, but now he's on the DL with a neck problem. So I don't know. Are you holding him in one of our leagues? Was he one of your big picks?
No, unfortunately, he wasn't for those 10 wins in a row. Or not in a row, but
yeah,
he had 10 wins. But that stems from last year. Wasn't he having kind of, I don't want to say head, but head neck issues last season?
Yeah, he had something going on. You know, because, like, you know, last night when they scratched him, they called it an illness. So it's kind of odd that apparently he was sick last night and now he's got a neck problem. But I did see your guy Matt Garza went on the DL too. You know, he had that collision at first base on his last start, and he has a chest contusion. So
wonder how long he's going to stick around.
But we did have he's got a couple years left on that contract. But we had a few finals today, Dan. We had four afternoon games. The Reds beat the Cardinals again. I think that was three in a row. I think they swept that series 5-2. Scott Feldman got the win, Dan. Look at that. Mike Leaf takes the loss, and Mr. Fantasy's guy, Raciel Iglesias, picked up the save. The Angels beat the Tigers 11-4. J.C. Ramirez got the win, and Michael Fulmer got roughed up in the loss. It took 10 innings, but the Giants beat the Brewers 9-5. Mark Melanson got the win, and Jacob Barnes took the loss. And then Arizona put up double digits again on the Padres. They put 15 up. They won 15-3. Patrick Corbin got the win, and Clayton Richard took the loss. So those were the early Thursday games as we move around. So I did find it. I just kind of chuckled at this. You know, again, I still have too much MLB Network on, and they were talking about the American League, and I found it interesting that they called the Houston Astros the hottest team in baseball, even though they've been beaten twice by the Royals. Maybe we could stop calling them the hottest in baseball after you lose two in a row. You know, it's almost like these guys don't know what the score is. You know, if you wanted to call them the best team in baseball because they do have the most wins, I would have bought that, but the hot runs out as soon as you lose two games in a row. So.
Yeah. Now, I mean, do you think they're sustainable for the rest of the season?
Well, can you tell me how Keuchel is now that he's not on the DL? Or, you know, now that he's on the DL, I mean, obviously he's the gigantic key there. You know, I mean, 2 years ago he's a Cy Young. Last year he was garbage. This year he looked like a Cy Young contender again. So, you know, can we wait until he comes back?
Yeah, because, I mean,
I don't think Lance McCullers has been hurt yet. He's got to be pretty close to picking up his injury for the year. You know, he picks up about one a year. And then, you know, the question's going to be with him is, how far are they going to let him go? You know, he's still a young guy. And, you've got to wonder, you know, is he looking at an innings limit? I mean, is there something, they're not going to let him get past, let me see what he's got going here for a career here with good old Lance. He has never pitched, more than 125 and two-thirds innings, Dan. So are they going to let him get to that 170, 180 total, or are they going to shut him down?
Is it because of injury he's never pitched that far?
Yeah, well, you know, his rookie year he came up and only made 22 starts. That was 2015. That's when he logged the innings. Last year he was hurt. He only made 14 starts. So,
yeah,
But yeah, he's at 12 starts now. The most he ever made was that rookie season. He made 22 starts. So, you know, and he's only 23 years old.
I mean, the only way Scott Boras was his agent.
Scott Boras is his agent.
Oh, there you go.
So, yeah, it's, you know, there's a lot of factors in, you know, if and how they're, you know, they're going to do it. I mean, you know, they signed Charlie Morton, and it was kind of an iffy signing. You know, everybody kind of wondered what they were doing. Well, he's actually pitched pretty well for them, except now he's on the DL. You know, Joe Musgrove was one of the guys that the White Sox thought so highly of. They wanted him in a Jose Quintana trade, and the Astros wouldn't move him. Well, he's on the DL now for them. So they're really piecing together a pitching staff right now. You know, I mean, they're filling in. You know, I know Brad Peacock has been really good. I don't know if that continues. You know, Mike Fiers is there. They're using David Paulino. So it's, you know, they're kind of mixing and matching. And, you know, while we have a big enough lead, I actually think you could almost call that division over. You know, I know the Mariners have been hot lately. I think they're 9-1 in their last 10, but they're still double-digit games out. And, you know, you wonder if these pitching injuries are going to come back to bite them.
I guess it depends on the schedule they've got coming up while Keuchel and company are gone.
You know, I do find it humorous that they continue to refer to them as this season Chicago Cubs. So, but yeah, you know, it's just, you know, I mean, you know, Keuchel was 9-0, so that's going to be tough to replace.
I mean, how is that even a comparison now? Is everyone just excited because of what they did last year?
Yeah, I think it's a thing. You know, it's been one of those things. I mean, we've been comparing the Astros and the Cubs for, you know, how long now? You know, the Astros started this rebuild 1 year before the Cubs did. And, you know, they made their one playoff appearance. I don't remember. I think they got knocked out by the Royals the year the Royals won it all. You know, so that was, you know, last year they didn't get in. They were a huge disappointment. You know, the Cubs obviously handled their rebuild a little better. You know, Houston didn't go out and pay big money for pitching, where the Cubs did.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that was the big difference there. What Houston did this year is they went out and they bought the veterans, you know, they needed to fill in. They were happy with their pitching, obviously, with Keuchel, McCullers. They filled in with Morton. They liked Musgrove. So they stuck with that. But, you know, they paid Josh Reddick. They brought in Carlos Beltran. They traded for Brian McCann. You know, these moves have really worked out for them. It gave them that veteran presence in the dugout that I think they were missing. So, you know, kind of akin to David Ross, you know, because who gets a ton of credit for being a great teammate and a veteran guy. I think this was similar to those kind of moves. You know, McCann is a, you know, I know a lot of people don't like him, but he's a team leader, and he's an old-school baseball guy. He wants the game played the right way. So, you know, that's going to help any team. You know, Beltran's a borderline Hall of Famer. You know, if he puts up some more numbers, he's got a really good chance to get in. And, you know, Reddick's been down for a few years, but, you know, he's still young enough to have that potential. So, you know, they filled in, and it's, you know, it's worked out so far. But let's see how they battle the injury bug. And I wanted to check this here. They do have a 12-game lead in the division, Dan. So I think they're pretty safe. So, you know, just kind of how things go. But Dan, I was wondering, can you tell me what's wrong with the Cardinals? They've lost 7 in a row, and they're 2-8 in their last 10. What happened to the Cardinals?
Well, they hit their hot streak.
So, yeah. You know, luckily, to be fair, they're only 4.5 games out of division lead, but, you know.
Yeah, but, I mean, their biggest difference maker was supposed to be having Dexter Fowler lead off every game, right? Isn't that why the Cubs aren't doing so good?
Isn't he the biggest difference maker everywhere he goes, Dan? All right, in Colorado, in Houston with the Cubs. You know, now he's a Cardinal, so.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, obviously he's.
I don't think he was the biggest difference maker on the Cubs. I just think that team, everything came together for them. You know, I think he came back for just one more year with the Cubs on a $20 million deal, which would have been ridiculous, but he's getting 80, so that's not far off. The Cubs would still be in the same exact situation they're in.
Yeah, just admit it, Dan. You know David Ross was the difference maker on that Cub team last year, okay?
Exactly.
But, yeah, looking at the Cardinals, Mike Leake has been really good, but he doesn't really have the record to show for it. He's just 5-5. Lance Lynn has pitched really well. He's 4-3. Carlos Martinez has been solid. He's 4-5. I thought Adam Wainwright had it figured out until his last start against Cincinnati. He had looked really good 2 or 3 starts in a row. I think he shut out. I think he had a shutout against the Rockies or the Dodgers, and he looked like he was rolling. He is 6-4, but that ERA is up huge after just getting beat to death by the Reds. And, of course, he happens to be on Mr. Fantasy's and I Money League team. And then Michael Wacha has, he started off good. Everybody thought, we're finally going to see the Michael Wacha we expected. And now he's 2-3 with an ERA of 4.67, so he's back to normal. But, overall, their starting pitching has been pretty good. It's just odd that they're, this bad. And, I mean, obviously it doesn't help that, Matt Carpenter, while he does have, what did I see? He's got 11 home runs, I think I saw. Yeah, he's got 11 home runs. He's hitting all of 216. So, Fowler's right ahead of him at 222, and that's what Randall Grichuk was hitting when they sent him down.
That was one of the things I was going to bring up with the Cardinals. They've brought their pitching up, and, aside from the kind of the streaks that Tommy Pham and, a guy like Grichuk and, Passetti just came back, they really don't have a team that's producing when it comes to the bat. And I know this may be far off, and it did happen a couple of years ago. It actually, kind of was all finished up, and I forget the prison time that Cardinal got. But you've got to wonder now, with the way their farm system was built and with the allegations and how they had to retool, so to speak, their recruiting and all that good stuff, how much that's affected them.
Yeah, I never thought of that. I wonder how much or if that, has really hurt them. Because, didn't they lose a couple first-round draft picks?
Yeah. They lost some draft picks. Then, I don't know what their system was like, and I can't really, pinpoint that and say, hey, that's the reason why. But, another part of it is, who had to change? How did they have to change their system? Did they lose any scouts? Did they, get some new ones? To top it off, that farm system that seemed to be just producing guys out of nowhere. We've been kind of hanging around with the same guys as of late. And like I said, Pham kind of had the streaks. You mentioned they dropped Grichuk back down. To me, it was kind of it's just kind of interesting that you've got to wonder when you compare and you look at the Cubs and the Cardinals, they put Grichuk down and he was doing 242. Yet the World Series heroes for the Cubs are batting under 200, sadly between 150 and 180, and they're still major league roster guys. But in the same token, everyone's like, well, drop him down. Who's going to come up? Candelaria, you know, Bryant's not going to go play the outfield. I think they realize that experiment is, I hope it's over, because it's great for me with fantasy stats. Granted, I have way too many left, right, and center fielders to begin with, so it doesn't really work to my advantage anymore. But I think they realize that experiment is over, and I hope Joe Maddon just kind of stays away from it. Because I think Brian was even get to the point where, you know, they were talking about it a lot during the pregame press conferences, and he never really said it, but, you know, his tone and everything kind of alluded to, I don't really like playing the outfield. So I don't think we're going to see that out there anymore. So Candelario really has no use coming up, because he's not going to play short or third. I'm sorry, your second. Or, you know, again, like I said, third. And then your biggest prospect that was left over is playing, and that's Ian Happ. You know, the other guy is playing for the Yankees farm system. And Eloy Jimenez is, you know, he's injured. So he's not even down there in the farm. So, you know, dropping down, and I think that's the one thing that nobody's bringing up or talking about. You know, they just say, whoa, he's not been well. Let's send him down to Triple A. Well, who are you going to bring up? You know, you're talking about...
Well, you know what I mean?
Schwarber and, you know, those two, you don't have any more catchers.
Yeah, you know, obviously, you know, the Cardinals got hurt right away when, you know, Alex Reyes was going to miss the entire year with Tommy John surgery. So, you know, that kind of, you know, roughed them up. But, you know, they, you know, oddly, they're, as weird as it is to hear with the Cardinals, their next best prospect is a catcher. You know, I guess sooner or later, you know, Yadier is going to go away. It just seems like he's never going to leave. So... you know, they will eventually need one somewhere, and he is in AAA, so the kid's not too far off. It's a guy by the name of Carson Kelly. So, you know, they have some prospects knocking on the door. You know, we've seen Magnus Sierra already, who came out of A ball. You know, and obviously he's had his ups and downs, but you know, they do have another outfielder, Harrison Batter, who's in AAA. He's not too far away from being ready to come up. We've seen Paul DeJean, the infielder, with some of the injuries. So they, you know, they have some guys on the farm who are ready to go. You just wonder, are they going to produce? I mean, DeJean has been okay. He's hitting about 250. So, you know, that's not bad for, you know, a kid coming up, you know, making his first impact. But yeah, you just wonder, you know, if they're going to get it straightened out in time to make a run. I mean, kind of like we talked about with the Cubs a little bit, you know, will the team get righted to have a run? But, you know, obviously the Cubs are still at the top of the division where, you know, the Cardinals are just tumbling.
And comment on your Yachty. I think he's going to go from catcher to grooming this kid and then right to bench coach or something of that sort.
Yeah, well, you know, if he wants to. You know, obviously he doesn't need the money. So, you know, if he wants to coach, I definitely think, you know, he'll be in the Cardinal system forever if he wants to if he wants to stay there. So,
well, that's more or less what I think. He's going to be a Cardinal for life, which I think is pretty cool.
I mean, it will be interesting, you know, they're coming home now. They've got a weekend series with the Phillies starting tomorrow. You know, the Phillies aren't one of the better, you know, the better teams. So we'll see how that goes. But they get a day off Monday, and I'm surprised they got a day off, because then they play a four-game series against the Brewers. But Tuesday's a doubleheader. So I'm surprised they got Monday off, and they just didn't add the game there in. But, you know, that'll be an interesting series to see. You know, the Brewers have been better than people expected, and it could be a way for the Cardinals to make up some ground if they can get righted by then. But I think Matt Carpenter's got to start hitting if they're going to do anything, don't you?
Yes. He's going to stand.
You know, and probably, you know, Fowler as well. You know, you can't have a leadoff guy hitting 222. you know, he's going to have to turn it up a little as well. So.
Yeah, but what's his Babbitt?
That I don't know. I can tell you his on-base percentage is .737 because he has walked 26 times, but he's also struck out 49 times. So.
Ooh, I'd like about 25 less strikeouts.
Yeah, you know, but you know we don't get that anymore. It's the name of the game.
No, I know, and you've got to wonder if that had to do with playing with the Cubs, or if that's just I guess I never really looked into the rest of his career. If he's always been a strikeout guy.
Yeah, you know, I'm sure I can tell you here if you give me a minute, we can look and see what his if they have his career numbers here with strikeouts, we can check out how Dexter does, but I believe he's always been a pretty big strikeout guy. I kind of vaguely remember when he came up with the Rockies, that being one of the knocks on him was the fact that he struck out quite a bit. Oh yeah. All right, Dan, in his career, you're kidding me. Why did my internet do that? Come back for me. There we go. So in his long and storied career, which has been, it really started in 2009 in Colorado, he has struck out 1,023 times. His first year with the Cubs was the most when he struck out 154. In turn, he's walked 580 times in his career. So he's close to almost double the strikeouts per walk.
That's what you want from a leadoff hitter, right? So,
yeah, well, that's what you get nowadays. You know, well, actually, to be fair, you get home runs out of your leadoff hitters now because it's, you know, guys like Kyle Schwarber, and I saw your guy Steven Souza Jr. is leading off for the Rays tonight. So, you know, George Springer, those kind of guys, you know, that's just what you get. But to be fair with Fowler, his two biggest walk years were with the Cubs. He had 84 his first year there and 79 last year. So... but yeah, for a guy who's supposed to be fast, he's never had more than 27 steals in a year. So, oddly, Dan, here you go. Hang on, I got you here. His BABIP this year is .252.
Is that good?
They happen to have it listed. Well, that's bad considering it was .350 last year. So that's bad. So, and for his career, it's .338. So he's way down.
Yeah. Well, no, I was going to say, I noticed the lack of speed when, you know, I was sitting out in center field and I don't want to say the lack of hustle, but there were certain balls he could have gotten to, but he just didn't run.
Yeah, it's always been odd that they've projected him as a leadoff hitter. And a lot of times, you know, they project him as in that classical sense where he's a get on base, steal you a base type of guy. And he's really not that guy, but you know, affected like that. So it's been a bit of an oddity. I know Colorado tried to pencil him in that role. It didn't work out. The year in Houston was just 1 year. So, but yeah,
for the strikeouts and kind of the walks, but with being in center field, you would actually think he'd be more of a, granted, this one doesn't matter anymore, but maybe more in that 3-4 spot as a cleanup hitter.
Yeah. You know, you do wonder. But all right, well, the music means Dan and I are going to take off, and we have to remember, we have to wish a very big happy birthday to Mr. Fantasy so we don't forget. But Dan and I are coming back at 5:30 tomorrow, so meet us here. You know the deal while we're gone, though. SportsTimeRadio.com. Check out what's going on over there. Link over to the Facebook page if you like that piece. The Twitter feed, at SportsTimeRadio. Jump on and check that out, of course. As always, you know, it's a big thanks for listening live. But don't forget, you can get the podcast anytime you want at TuneIn.com. Go Penguins!
Go Penguins!